This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Higher fuel efficiency standards in the U.S. could look a lot like those in Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Negotiations between the Obama administration and U.S. carmakers are now heating up over new miles per gallon standards. The White House is pushing for higher standards similar to Europe's, meaning U.S. carmakers would need their fleet of cars to average 56 miles per gallon. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Hitting an average of 56 miles per gallon for U.S. cars and trucks by 2025 would be a big challenge. It could possibly be achieved by going the direction of Europe, pushing consumers to buy tiny, ultra-fuel-efficient cars on a massive scale. But there's a problem, says Paul Eisenstein of online auto magazine TheDetroitBureau.com.
The reality is that Americans do drive differently than we see people driving in Europe. They drive longer distances. They tend to drive larger cars.
The U.S. auto industry is pushing for less ambitious fuel economy goals and more wiggle room to meet them. But critics point out that Europe, China, and Japan are already ahead of the U.S. in fuel efficiency. Europe's expected to reach 60 miles per gallon by the end of the decade. They say U.S. automakers will have to get up to the same level sooner or later if they want to compete in foreign markets. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
United and American Airlines launch a key lawsuit in Europe today. Those carriers are unhappy with the European plan to curb the airline industry's carbon emissions. Now, the legal challenge is especially critical because Europe's carbon plan is the first that covers airlines. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The plan comes into force next year. Every airline using an EU airport will be affected. They'll be given a limit on the amount of carbon they're allowed to emit. Exceed those limits and the carriers will have to buy so-called carbon permits. We're not talking here about limits on carbon emitted in European airspace only. It's the whole flight that will be taken into account. Aviation lawyer Mark Bissett says the American carriers claim this clearly oversteps European jurisdiction.
If you take, for example, a flight from Dallas to London, a very small part of that will involve emissions over EU airspace. So the US is saying, well, why should we pay for emissions over US sovereign territory? Why should we pay for emissions over international waters?
The EU says the carbon emission plan will encourage carriers to buy more fuel-efficient planes, but the carriers are fretting about the cost of the plan, an estimated $1.6 billion a year. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly mixed right now. Oil prices remain around $95 a barrel as a stronger U.S. dollar is making crude a tad more expensive for other currencies around the world. Today, the U.S. government reports on May factory orders with a slight increase expected there. Wall Street opens for the week after a long holiday weekend.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's the height of the tourism season in China, and there are some estimates that the country's new middle class will make more than 2 billion domestic trips this year. So how will all those tourists affect Chinese national parks? Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
This is how the Chinese travel, in groups by bus. They go to places like Zhuozhai Valley. This national park in western China is known as China's Yellowstone. It's got snowy mountains, pristine turquoise-colored lakes, and now lots of people. Tens of thousands of people a day. 15 years ago, this was a Tibetan area deep in the mountains. It was a couple of days' drive from the nearest big city. Now there's an airport, 5-star hotels, and a train line will soon carry more tourists from the rest of China. Xu Ronglin helps manage the park.
We used to let tour buses into the park, and they were a nuisance. They were loud, people threw garbage out of the windows, and the air became dirty from their exhaust.
Xu and his staff saw the writing on the wall. Each year would bring more urban Chinese who had little regard for the environment. The solution? Xu knew most Chinese tourists prefer to sightsee by tour bus and aren't keen on hiking. So his crew banned traffic from the park, limiting tourists to cleaner buses fueled by natural gas. When they get off the bus, tourists are corralled onto boardwalks that limit them to the most photogenic parts of the park. That's a smart move, according to Travis Klingberg, a PhD student at the University of Colorado who specializes in Chinese tourism.
And so by concentrating the development onto roads and boardwalks and minimizing where the crowds of people go, in a way has saved the rest of the park from being trampled.
And that's the way many tourists here prefer it. Zhang Jiawei, a tourist from the city of Xi'an, says he likes the fact that Zhuozhai Valley is crowded with tourists. He says it's no fun traveling alone. No worries there. Domestic tourism is expected to increase 50% in the next 4 years, generating revenue equal to 10% of China's GDP. In Zhuozhai Valley, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Rob took some pictures of his travels in those Chinese parks there at marketplace.org. Finally, in Miami, a few waterfront homeowners in a secluded part of Biscayne Bay are getting a little desperate. They're tired of a large number of tourist boats anchoring right off of their backyards. Now, these are lavish multi-million-dollar homes where property taxes average about $100,000 a year. Yet the boats, which are enjoying the same views as the homeowners, sit right offshore for free. And there are no laws against it. So some of the homeowners have resorted to shining floodlights and playing hardcore loud hip-hop music to make those boats go away. The boaters call it bullying. The homeowners say it is guerrilla warfare, and they're using all the legal weapons they can find. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On the web at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
U.S. companies will spend over $7 billion this year on data servers.
That's going to double in the next 3 years.
So they're looking to spread out those energy costs. The ultimate goal?
How do we make the data center disappear?
I'm Bob Moon. The hidden costs of powering the internet. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.